And the CIA should have done it a long time ago. The idea that the CIA knew about this problem, that this information got out of their control last year and doesn't appear to have told the tech companies is, I think, shameful. And people need to really turn to the CIA and ask them why aren't they standing with tech companies and with the American people and people around the world to have secure products?
Cindy Cohen,
that's where their interest should be.
We want to thank you for being with us, Executive Director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. That does it for the broadcast. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Honey Masood. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
Please join us on Saturday, March 25th for an Archives Database Edit-A-Thon and party. This event will run from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We are recruiting current and past KBOO volunteers and listeners who hold knowledge of KBOO's 49-year history, and we are recruiting archivists, librarians, and any other person that enjoys information seeking and data entry to document this collective knowledge. This event is free and open to the public, but we need you to register so we can plan for the event. Find out more by emailing archive@kboo.fm or online at kboo.fm/editparty2017.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Oregon Action Plan, Immigration Rights, on Sunday, March 19th at the Concordia University Library in Portland. Oregon Action Plan is a series of events to inform and empower our community. This first event will focus on immigration in Oregon. How is what's happening on the national level affecting people in Oregon? What are organizations doing to support and protect their communities? And what can allies do to be effective and supportive? Again, that's Oregon Action Plan, Immigration Rights, on Sunday, March 19th at the Concordia University Library, 2800 Northeast Liberty Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from None Such Records, now featuring the Magnetic Fields 50-song memoir, an album that chronicles the 50 years of songwriter Stephen Merritt's life with one song per year. The Magnetic Fields 50-song memoir, available now.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
And good morning, good morning. It's about 3 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your very own community radio station, and this is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
And I'm Lynn.
And together we are here to engage you in conversation this morning about what it feels like to live in the maelstrom of Well, smack dab in the middle of the first 100 days. We are at
only 100 days.
it really...
Ani said before we started, can't sleep, the clown will eat me. That's sort of where...
It's where we're at. And it's, 50. We're at day 50, right? So that whole, you know, the new administrations have 100 days to set the tone of their blah, blah, blah. And, you know, really talk about where they're going to take people and what legacy they're going to be leaving. And all that is supposed to be.
Who said that?
You know, I asked that actually last year when we first heard from people.
Who said that?
That. The first 100 days, this and that. And I'm like, really? 100 days? What? Oh, well, apparently that's just the common knowledge that I didn't know before. But now it apparently. But here we are, day 50.
Anne Boleyn got 1,000 days.
That's different.
Then it was all with
that. That's different. Okay. And hopefully we have a different outcome than she had. Right. So here we are, day 50, right? Halfway through. And I just want to, this line has been ringing in my head for the last couple of weeks. And right before the inauguration, we were fortunate to have had on the air with us Linda Tirado. Linda Tirado is a brilliant human being. She's also the author of Hand to Mouth, Living in Bootstrap America. And during that interview, she said that it would be super important for people to keep truth diaries so that we'll notice that things are not normal.
As it slips.
After it becomes normalized, right? So that we'll notice when goalposts move, and we'll notice and we have some objective point of confirmation when we think, well, it hasn't always been that way, right? Right? That we can actually track that because it was her fear and one we shared that as this
post-truth America
rolls on, that kind of sure-footedness in what reality we're living in becomes shaky.
That was before alternative facts even came popping up that Linda Tirado talked about that.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, oh my God, by the end of the first weekend of this administration, those words became ever more important as we were introduced to the world of alternative facts, as we were introduced to the world of, no, really. Trump's is the biggest inauguration ever. And to pay no attention to those, pictures that would show you plainly otherwise.
Do not look behind the curtain.
This is your truth, and you are going to acknowledge it. There is no other truth. So, you know, hence we start down the dystopic road of alternifacts. Previously, I think we just called them lies. But now, alternative facts, sure. And here we are. So there's a few different things. One, it's becoming increasingly difficult to keep track of the legislation, the executive orders, the laws that impact, laws and policies that are impacting us heavily and that have the ability to impact us more as more and more pass. That's, that's on the one hand, it's all happening so fast and furiously that it's very hard to keep track of what's going on. There's a laundry list of things that people had rather taken for granted, like, oh, I don't know, the Department of Education, the Department of Environmental Protection, things like that, that are actually fundamentally threatened at this point. Lynn and I talked last week about two bills that were introduced with the same goal. The goal is to defund Planned Parenthood. One of them, rather honestly, is named the Defund Planned Parenthood. I hate the goal of that bill, but at least it actually says what it is. As opposed to the Senate version of the bill, I think that was the House that is the defund Planned Parenthood. The Senate version is the, protect funding for women's health care bill, which is rather interesting considering its point is to, in fact, defund Planned Parenthood. protect, defund, it's alternative facts. And so that's on the one hand. It's just keeping track of all of the mayhem that they
well,
are
and it was Joni Ernst did that Senate bill, and anything from her is crazy. This is one of the most I won't say evil.
Good.
Someone who does not know who she is now she is a fine pig castrator apparently, but she as a woman and to introduce this bill is particularly, but she is really, really, really nuts.
Well, so moving in to and past that
personality disorders,
the keeping track of all of the things that are being introduced that negatively, let's just say negatively impact us and our society, to looking at how we are actually being impacted and how just in this last 50 days, we went from the, yes, we are out in the street constantly. Yes, we are constantly decrying this administration and its fascist tendencies, let's say. It's a little bit less now. And there's a part of things where I just have to figure we're looking at long haul, right? We realize that we're not going to be able to get changes made in a day or a week, that really the struggle is for the longer term. And so we do have to find a way to make that sustainable. We cannot keep up the energy that sort of met that first week, that first 2 weeks of this administration. But at the same time, I am very, very concerned that people are starting to get into the idea that this is the new normal, because there is nothing normal about this. And so that is, I guess, my question to you, dear listeners. We do want to engage in your thoughts about how we get through this maelstrom, how we, in fact, hold on together, how we create further acts of solidarity.
Heal collective trauma.
How we, yes, indeed. How are you coping? What are your coping skills? Because we're flat out. No. we think it's very important to, in fact, really check in with ourselves and each other and say, how are you doing? And how can we support each other to do better and continue the resistance to this fascist regime?
Because isolation is one of the first, it's like they talk about truth is the first casualty of war. Isolation is, to me, one of the first casualties of this sort of collective trauma. Even, we were talking about this before the show, even though we have these huge, enormous support groups, people are feeling a little isolated. That's not good. It's not good at all. So here we have a forum and a place for folks to talk. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Let's not do that. Let's see. I'd love to see how other people are dealing with their trauma from this onslaught of our nightmares.
Indeed.
Of everything.
For me, rather a literal awakening. So this is, I guess, one of the challenges of actually falling asleep reading heinous article after heinous article in preparation for the show, because I then actually didn't sleep and just actually had nightmares all night long. wherein Trump became some sort of 7-foot-tall alien monster who had taken over Newport.
Was he orange?
No, he was not orange.
It wasn't him then.
No. Well, it was just obviously a nightmare. not the current dystopic nightmarish reality. Keep those separated. So in all of this, there is also the point of his supporters. And there has been definitely that further polarization and bolstering of bigots and hate mongers, so that actually on Alternet, a couple days ago, was posted an article wherein a Trump supporter in Arizona at a pro-Trump rally this weekend actually flat out says that he's looking forward to the liberal genocide. Because it's time to just get, you know, those of us that aren't in line with this new regime just out of the way so they can get on with things. Considering the numbers of hate crimes and considering the general harassment that's been going up, that seems to me, disheartening doesn't quite cover it. It's frightening. And I also want to talk about that. How are we supporting each other through some very real threats? I was talking to a friend who works at the Mercado, the Portland Mercado, yesterday.
Now, explain what that is for people that don't know.
For folks that may not know, the Portland Mercado is a cluster of businesses in outer southeast Portland that are primarily focused on food from Mexico, Central America, and South America. And so there are food carts, there's a grocery store, there's a dulceria, there's a carniceria. And there it is.
And a Mexican tchotchke shop.
Yes. All of, you know, it's all right there. And, coffee shop, sure. Mm-hmm. And so.
Guatemala?
It's a place where, in fact, my friend was telling me last week, somebody came by and put stickers up on things that were fake, but that basically said, you know, do you know somebody without papers? Call this number. It's just general harassment and terror, really, ratcheting up. And so how do we deal with that? How do we support communities that are the most threatened? We were talking about the psychological impact this is having on folks, that are afraid loved ones may be snatched off the street, may be driving to work and may not get there because ICE might intervene. Because this is happening. So how do we, you know, we can't say, oh, don't worry about it, because that would be ridiculous. It's happening. So how do we support each other and how do we help each other get through what is really a frightening time? That's another question I have.
503-231-8187 is the number to call and share your experiences with us, because this is a terrestrial community and we want to know what folks are thinking. Because it's just so important for us to stick together at this particular time. It couldn't be more important or more, I mean, that's where your comfort's going to be, folks. It's not going to be from the TV. It's not going to be from shopping.
No.
Darn it. But that won't work.
Not TV either?
No, I'm sorry.
Damn. So we're just going to actually have to engage. And yet we need to engage in a way that is sustainable.
Right.
Right? So self-care, putting the oxygen mask over our own faces, yada, yada, yada. All of that is super important. And at the same time, to stay engaged while we are practicing self-care. I've seen a couple of things. I'm noticing a couple of trends that have pretty much, I would say, yeah, I'll say disturbed me lately.
This is all pretty numbing.
Yeah. One of the trends is actually hearing more about how, oh gosh, you know, folks are seeing that things have really polarized. And so they're not interested in further polarization. And that's why they're looking for middle ground of acceptance. How do you accept fascism as middle ground?
I don't know.
I don't either. It makes my head spin around and I start feeling like I'm possibly the lead in The Exorcist. I'm just saying that it's a little bit different than, oh gosh, you know, I don't want to, scream, you freaking bigot, at somebody because they've just said something offensive. Okay, maybe we can take it down from that level of, polarization.
Well,
confront that bigot who is saying hateful and harmful things, is still important. How do we do that? Well, you know, there are probably ways that aren't screaming in each other's faces or threatening each other with physical violence. But that doesn't mean that the confrontation doesn't have to happen, right? And to say, oh gosh, you know, it's also polarized and it's like hurting
the inside
bunny soul.
Of my head.
I mean, whatever. You know, I just cannot support the idea that, gosh, we just have to take what we have and go along to get along now, because otherwise we're just participating in this polarization and then we're just as bad as they are. What the hell is that? I've actually heard this said this week. Okay, Lynn, go ahead.
Can I say, I think that, I'm not supporting this, but I think that it's they're doing acceptance really means denial.
Yes, yes.
And that's my interpretation of it's very uncomfortable. That's one reason people were kind of energized in the beginning. This, now we're getting to a more uncomfortable stage where things are going on and on and on and will continue to. And it's only been, 50 days? I keep forgetting because it seems so long that this has been happening. So it's by saying you accept, because there are times when acceptance really helps. There are times when you've been through trauma or something that you're angry about that acceptance really helps. This is not one of those. We're not there yet. And people are going through stages of grief. Denial is the first one, and I think that's where folks are at, and I think that's what that acceptance is about.
I'm going to go ahead and read from this article from Alternate. I absolutely agree. And here we have the United States of Hate has exploded under Trump. This is written by Steven Rosenfeld. It's on Alternate. You can find it there. The Trump administration has ripped the lid off a Pandora's box of racial right-wing hate, as the Southern Poverty Law Center reveals. Trump's campaign and presidential election have brought racism in America out of the shadows in a manner not seen in decades, with Muslims becoming the top target of attacks and violence, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center's annual survey of domestic hate groups and extremists. According to Mark Podick, a senior fellow with the Southern Poverty Law Center, there's something going on right now in our country that is really dramatic. Just a few weeks ago, we had 63 different bomb threats phoned in to various Jewish community centers and synagogues around the country. In the last month or so, we've seen two mosques burn to the ground. The one in Victoria, Texas, burned just a couple of hours after the Trump administration announced the executive orders that comprised the so-called Muslim ban. Late last fall, we saw a major plot by three members of a radical anti-government group called the Kansas Security Force, and with a subgroup called the Crusaders, who actually plotted to load four different vehicles with high explosives, park them in four corners of a large apartment complex housing Somali Muslim immigrants in Garden City, Kansas, and actually kill them all. There have been a number of hate crimes. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen the man from Kansas who went in and shot three people at a bar because he mistakenly believed that a couple of guys were Muslim. One of those men were killed. He was an Indian man, and his friend was injured, and a white guy who attempted to intervene also was injured in that shooting. The man drives some miles to an Applebee's where he tells a bartender that, oh, you know, he just killed some Muslims, which is, again, a hate crime. It's driven by his Islamophobia, which has been fanned consistently by this administration, right?
It's Steve Bannon's wet dream.
There you go. And then you have also, there's the man in Kent, Washington, a Sikh man who was confronted by somebody and shot. He was not killed. He was injured and did have racist things yelled at him in the attack. There was a man in South Carolina also killed because somebody thought he was a Muslim. And that, again, this is in the last couple of weeks. And who's doing the killing? I'm going to say they're white men, right? Who's doing the shooting? They're white men. We know that. And so, are they labeled terrorists? No. Has anyone actually talked about keeping people safe from white men? No.
I have not heard of these guys being arrested even.
Perhaps the guy in Kansas, because, you know, he actually went into a bar and told the bartender that he just killed somebody. So, you know, he did get arrested. It's there. We are still seeing further harshness around more Muslim, the new Muslim ban, which, in fact, is actually harsher and more extreme than the old Muslim ban, which really the old Muslim ban was only a couple months old. Well, month and a half.
Not two.
Look, it's only 50 days.
I know.
Only 50 days. So, dear listener, what do you have to say about it? 503-231-8187 is the number to call. You can also follow along on Facebook. You can find us there, Positively Revolting. That's where we are. You can also follow along on Twitter. In the Twitterverse, you can find us at Positive Revolt. Those are the many ways you can connect, and we really would love for you to do so.
Here is, of course, the mastermind behind a lot of these racist attacks is Steve Bannon, who, there's another article, great article in Alternate, saying, just can't help himself. A recent investigation by a Huffington Post exposed Bannon's fondness for The Camp of Saints, an obscure French novel that portrays a race war between the civilized white West and the evil brown hordes of the so-called East. Yeah. It's also, he compared global politics and the refugee crisis to the plot of that book, which has been likened to Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf. This is the guy who's driving policy right now. Because Trump is the crazy front man and being dangled around by Bannon. And of course, we can't forget Mike Pence.
Never forget.
Especially read The Handmaid's Tale. You'll see him in there.
The ACLU is having workshops tomorrow.
Good.
And throughout the country about knowing your rights. I am trying to, even as I speak, oh, look at me trying to pull up information and speak at the same time. I should realize by now that doesn't actually work for me. But if you go to the ACLU's website, aclu.org, you can, in fact, find a teach-in grassroots organizing, strategizing meeting that is happening tomorrow. Like I said, across the country,
there and some are like-minded
several
folks.
In Portland.
People to talk to.
Indeed. And again, as Lynn was saying earlier, it's important not to allow ourselves to get isolated. As the more we feel isolated, the more we feel powerless, right? And we start turning that stuff inward, and that's never a good idea. Never a good idea.
So just staying in the basement and reading articles on the internet will not make you feel better.
It's not really enough. It seems like a good idea at the time, but it's not. And really, tuning out and saying, you know, it's all too much. I can't possibly, again, it hurts my soul.
It is all too much, but that's the too bad.
But that's the world we live in. So there's that balancing point between self-care and staying engaged.
Yeah.
Sure, I watch cute fuzzy animal videos. I do. I think that's important.
We exchange cute fuzzy animal pictures.
And
however.
And yet, I also at some point stop that and engage with talking to people in my community and reading articles and trying to stay informed of the many, many things that are happening. So about those many things that are happening.
There's a great site about bills and resolutions called GovTrack.
Yes.
And they have one little section that's even for hot bills. And boy, are they hot. To terminate the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yes.
H.R. 861.
Yes. Introduced February 3rd. Has three Republican co-sponsors. The body of H.R. 861 is only one sentence long. Gotta say, that's unusual for a bill, isn't it? And that sentence reads, the Environmental Protection Agency shall terminate on December 31st, 2018. The text of the bill does not stipulate what actually then comes into existence. Fantastic.
Polluted skies, for one.
I mean, right. Environment. Who needs that? Yes. There is H.R. 610, Tax Dollars for Private Schools, otherwise known as the Choices in Education Act. That changes how federal tax dollars are distributed to qualified states for education spending, mandating that all such monies be awarded in block grants, a portion of which must go to voucher programs for use by parents to pay for private and home schools. Now,
or teachers that I know call that the end of public education.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Now, there's a couple of folks who have said, well, public education actually hasn't been all that great. Why should we continue to support a system that basically its primary goals for several decades is to sort of dumb us down, stop creative thinking, enforce conformity, get us to respond to the sound of a bell instead of our, you know, natural sort of needs and rhythms. Why do we want to continue that? And God knows, as a Portland Public School graduate. I almost said survivor. And I'm like, well, that's a little dramatic. And yet, you know, certainly there's a lot to be said about how schools could and should be reorganized to actually educate, right? Because what we've been seeing, of course, is as schools have been consistently defunded, what goes first? Oh, arts and music programs, PE programs. There are schools
band.
That, right, you know, band, heck, after, you know, after school activities, any of that. And you know, people are teaching to the test by rote memory, not really encouraging analytical thought. All of these things are true. But I gotta say, annihilating it without actually seeing a replacement that actually encourages analytical thinking and encourages creativity and encourages children to grow up being their whole selves is not the answer, because what that's going to be doing is pushing that power into the hands of those that want far-right religious training, basically. We know that Devos has wanted to make Jesus, you know, sort of a center point in education. We know that already across the country, and if you didn't know that before, you know, check out some articles from a couple few years ago, actually, about Devos and her family's
Blackwater is her family too.
Well, yes, but what I was saying was more like Devos's family's philosophy on education and turning out troops for Jesus. That there's already so many school districts that don't want to teach evolutionary theory because, you know, after all, it's just a theory, no more valid than creationism according to the Bible.
So is gravity. It keeps us down in our seats.
Right. There's a lot of theories that we tend to sort of move forward as if they were real, like the, you know, the solidity of this table. I get that it's all a bunch of moving atoms, and yet we move forward as if this was real, right? It's anyway. So, public education. I bring myself back from that abyss. There's so many more. But we do want to engage with you, dear listener. 503-231-8187, the number to call. And good morning, Brian. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Real quick on conformity and especially creativity. I'm reminded of what Winston Churchill said during, you know, before World, just at the beginning of World War II, his cabinet were urging him to defund the foundation, the British Foundation for the Arts, and his reply was simply, "Well, what are we fighting for then?" So I'll leave you with that one.
Thank you very much, Brian. It's actually probably my favorite Churchill quote.
Yep. These folks don't care much for art.
No,
they're not the most. They're not what I would call so much creative as aggressive.
Indeed,
with one particular thought form.
Indeed.
Well, let's go on and see what Francis has to say.
Good morning.
Hi. My brother shared some information with me yesterday that I haven't followed up on yet, but he said that he learned that of the Americans living in Mexico, 97% of them are undocumented.
I was reading about that.
Uh-huh.
So, and Mexico doesn't do anything about it.
They not yet.
No, they don't particularly care to, I don't think.
That might be changing because
the retaliatory measures that would
exactly
just, you know, play the same game. You know,
exactly.
Well, in Europe now, the EU wants United States citizens to have visas to visit
for the first time, because again, retaliation.
It's kind of silly, but anyway,
yes,
the whole thing is anyway. But I think what's fascinating to me is that there have been people experiencing some very serious oppression for many years all over the world, including here. And for some reason, because certain people who weren't promoting hate were in leadership roles, it's been overlooked completely. And now we're all afraid. And I guess that's a good thing, because all the hate is right out there in the middle of the street where we can deal with it instead of hiding behind congressional doors and things. But it's like we have to be careful, because I've noticed, especially in the corporate media, they take something that one of these people says and take it to the extreme and continue to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it to create that environment of conflict. And they also misconstrue things that people say, and I've seen them do it with everyone, including people that I don't agree with. But they take their words out of context and make the confrontation more extreme than it has to be. And I think that's what feeds a lot of these people who are committing these hate crimes right now. Mm-hmm. If somehow they've gotten the word that it's okay to act that way. I don't know exactly how, but one person that I really admire right now, who is a woman, and I wish we would pay more attention to what she's saying, is Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii. She's a congresswoman from Hawaii.
Would you say her name again, Frances?
Tulsi, T-U-L-S-I, Tulsi Gabbard.
Mm-hmm.
And she has presented a bill to Congress, H.R. 608, and it's titled something about stop funding international terrorism. But basically, she opposes the regime change wars, such as what occurred in Libya and is attempting to happen in Syria now, and what's happening in Yemen. And if we really, 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 really want to stop terrorism, because it's interesting to me that these countries that the current president has put on his list of banning people are the ones where we have participated in those kind of regime change activities. So to me, it's already recognized and realized that there are people who probably aren't very happy with us because of what we've done there. So her thinking is, if we really want to stop this, then we need to stop it. And we need to stop initiating these conflicts in other countries in the world for whatever reason, for war machine profits or for whatever the reason is, protect some kind of... I know it's now we talk a lot about protecting American interests, quote-unquote.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's been talked about for years.
That's not protecting our country. It's protecting American interests.
It's really about corporate rule.
Right. And we can go back to the whole conversation about, you know, you can't put a corporation in jail, never have,
right.
Being able to, never will, so they are not people, and they should not be given the same rights as people. But that's a whole other conversation. But let's pay attention to Tulsi Gabbard, G-A-B-B-A-R-D, right. And what she's trying to do. She's already being labeled a maverick.
Yes.
To me, is a good thing right now.
Absolutely. So Tulsi Gabbard, interesting. Thanks very much for that information this morning.
Okay. And her bill, which probably won't get very far, but she did get a Republican to co-sponsor it with her, is H.R. 608.
Keep them coming. Doesn't matter if they can't do a bill just because it's going to pass.
Right.
These days.
But what she's proposing there is right on. And, you know, if we're really going to think logically to an end point where maybe we will actually stop all these wars, then people need to start thinking the way she does.
All right. Thank you, Frances.
Take care.
All right. And let's see. Let's go ahead and talk to Norm, 503-231-8187. How are you coping? A little bit for me, I think it's around triage. Because there is too much happening at once. So I think that there's something to be said for really looking at what your part is in doing it and networking with people doing other parts. So they're all getting done. But you got to realize that no one person is going to be able to take on all fronts, right? I think that's part of it for me. Good morning, Norm. You're on the air. How you doing this morning?
Good. I'm reminded of what I heard in the novel Dune by Frank Herbert. Fear is the mind killer.
Indeed.
You must not fear. We must not fear. I must not fear. Anyway, the reason for my call, Ani and Lynn, and by the way, I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you mentioned the ACLU.org. I'm not online, and so I can't click onto there and look up when that gathering is.
The thing is, there's a lot of them, and it's a good point.
You could call them. Yes.
What's the phone number?
I don't know. That's a
currently looking that up.
Ani's going to look that up for you.
Okay.
But in the meantime, how can engage in conversation with Lynn, won't you?
I'm sorry I'm making you talk and type at the same time.
No, that's why we work in teams. But really, how are you coping and dealing? How are you actually being able to, I love the litany of fear is the great mind killer. I don't know if other people remember this book called Das Energy. It's by Paul Williams. It was written in the 70s. I hate to admit it, but it's probably the closest thing I've ever had to a spiritual text. And it also goes on at great length about not giving in to fear. So I have these litanies against fear that I personally use. And at the same time, I know that fear is a super important thing because it actually, that's when, as soon as we feel it, we know something's very wrong. And it's our body's reaction that says immediate change is needed now. We can't allow ourselves to sit in that fear. I think Paul Williams says, as soon as you see fear or feel fear, stamp it out. Don't think, react, stamp it out. But
that's right. You have to act.
Exactly. But you have to act. And that's the thing, because otherwise you start numbing out.
That's right.
And so I think that's just an important thing, because a lot of folks are like, oh, no, don't be afraid and don't be angry and don't be this and don't be that. And it's like, no, those are actual real human emotions. They're important and they actually are there for a reason. So
I have felt piled on more than fearful. It's like, oh, one more thing. And then one more thing. If you're paying attention at all, it's when will the next shoe fall? Oh, today.
You know, unfortunately,
it's like how many feet? I've got so many feet. Boom, 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 boom. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Norm.
You know, unfortunately for me, most of my anger I felt towards Hillary Clinton. How the hell did she lose this race? And I've had to
easy
go to a place of forgiveness and, you know, just say, okay, you know, she ran a stupid campaign, she said some stupid stuff, and Donald Trump is not an idiot.
Well, neither is she, actually.
She is not an idiot, but, well, there was how the Democrats ran the race. There's also a lot of, there's been gerrymandering that's been going on for a long time. I always call that Karl Rove's piece de resistance. There was a lot of voter suppression that happened, which has been worked on by the Republicans for a long time.
Mr. Obama didn't get taken out by gerrymandering.
No, but it was a huge...
The gerrymandering's continuing. Also, check Greg Palast's information, right? Because there's a lot of corruption and outright voter, beyond voter disenfranchisement, purging of the rolls of people that were likely to not vote for the hard right. And so that's
right.
That's also a reality that we have to
in
keep
states,
in mind.
In states that matter in the Electoral College. I mean, we
right.
know that Hillary won the popular vote.
Yeah.
By a landslide.
Yeah.
By a landslide. And then there's also the whole point that she would never get over being very, very committed to the establishment, which is a turnoff for many of us who feel like the establishment is the order of the day with corporate rule and, you know, the sort of slow death as opposed to the quick shark shock of fascism. I've never been able to say that line. I have never been able to say short, sharp shock. There,
it's
that's probably
twister.
The closest I've ever come. I usually just try to avoid it, but there it is. So this ACLU, it's a webinar, and there are multiple meeting points around Oregon and really multiple meeting points around Portland. And I am, you know, again, trying to host a show and look up this information at the same time. I wish it were a little easier to do, but I am having a fairly difficult
time. So it's
time
a webinar.
It is.
So, Norm, you're going to have to go to the library or something. Or go to a friend's house.
No, there are many gathering points.
Oh.
And about it, I can say that it's Saturday, 1:30. People across the country are gathering at ACLU Resistance Training live stream events to learn how we can get to work locally resisting this administration's unjust policies. To attend an event, oh my goodness, look at me trying to view all events and it not actually coming up. But that's what it is, that's when it is, and keep listening, because by the end of the show, I'll come up with a phone number for you. Okay?
Thank you, Wani.
Thanks for your call, Norm.
And thank you, Norm, both for your service.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for keeping on. All right.
We've got, of course, a ton of callers here at the end of the show, so let's go for Enrique.
Good morning, Enrique.
Good morning. Oops. Well.
Perhaps not.
Call back, Enrique.
Yeah. I'm still trying to look up that number. So
are you,
Lynn,
indeed?
Pontificate, if you will.
Excuse me. Seasonal allergies. I'm so happy warm weather is coming, except for my spring allergies are just
allergies
popping right up. So here we are. 50 days into this administration, and I've just been very interested in the whole collective trauma business and what to do about it, because as Jack Saul, the director of International Trauma Studies Program, says, it's usually a disruption of social and moral order. That is a lot for all of us. So we're dealing with that and the realities of what bill is being passed that will completely disrupt our lives. I know people who are, one of my Facebook friends just had her medication, a chemo pill that she takes, just went up to $10,000 for 60 of them, which right now is being handled with the ACA Affordable Care Act. But she figures she's got another year of that. Hopefully she won't need this drug after another year. But she says it's like watching what the Republicans are doing to healthcare. And it's not like, I mean, I believe in universal healthcare. I don't think the Affordable Care Act did everything for everybody in any way, shape, or form. But just an example is that, so you got dinged if you didn't join in on the happy parade, but that money went back into the pool. Now you're going to be, if this passes, which the Republicans are calling it Obamacare Light, so possibly it will not pass in the Senate, is that if you don't have insurance for 60 days, you get fined $30 a month in perpetuity. And where does that money go? To the insurance companies. So,
not a problem, right?
No.
So the ACLU of Oregon has a phone number.
Did you get a number?
I did. It's 503-227-3186. 503-227-3186 is the number for the ACLU of Oregon. And I have to say, coincidentally, next week's program, we will be speaking,
yes,
with Matt Dos Santos from the ACLU, where we can actually get into the topics a little bit deeper with Matt. So I'm looking forward to that discussion. But in the meantime, that training, People Power Training, is tomorrow on the 11th. So if you're not online, you can call the ACLU and see about trying to connect up that way. If you are online, if you search ACLU Resistance Training, you can, in fact, find out more and find out where there's something close to you. There, I was super impressed to see the number of training sites growing from just a couple weeks ago when I checked to, wow, you can hardly see the map of Portland underneath all those red dots now. So there's many happening, and seems like a good thing to avail oneself of.
Well, let's see if we can sneak Enrique is back.
Good morning, Enrique.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Pretty good. So I listen to your show, you know, pretty much every day. Well, whenever I get a chance.
I was going to say, sure. We don't do it every day.
I don't know. I can't really tell who is who, you know.
Totally.
I just turn on the radio, and that's pretty much the only channel that I can.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. I won't be so.
Uh-huh. Well, I was calling because, you know, I hear a lot of people, you know, talking about the reason why Hillary lost, you know what I mean? And it's pretty simple. I mean, you know, I have a lot of friends on social media, and most of my friends do not like the current president.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, during the election, you know, almost every single one of them was saying, well, I'm not voting for him, but I can't vote for her. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So, and now that he's sitting there, everyone's complaining about it, you know, and crying about mm-hmm. it. I'm like, where were you guys during the election?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot to be said about...
Even though he won the popular vote, you know, the electoral vote, everybody knows. I mean, if you're old enough and if you want to get involved, everyone knows that the electoral vote's the one that counts.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, I know they had this big women's march and all that, but, there was an estimated, I don't know, I think 120,000 people in Portland. Forgive me, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was around then.
I'm wrong, but...
No, it was right around there.
I mean, out of all of them, how many did you know actually went out and voted?
Sure. Well, I think that there's a lot to be.
Most of them were complaining. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
But how many of them, where they had banners and they had signs and mm-hmm. as Trump and these and that. Well, where were you during the election? You know, because
In Portland, they probably did vote, and this state did not go for Trump.
True. But here's the thing, Enrique, that if we have candidates that are not speaking for the interests of the people, people become more and more disenfranchised. And if you become more and more disenfranchised and you think that these politics are kind of untouchable and no one's really representing your interests anyway, then it's really hard to get fired up about engaging in that process. I actually still vote. I have not missed a presidential election yet, though I would say possibly almost always, have looked at people that actually represent my interests instead of trying to figure out which is the lesser evil, or which one I could possibly put up with more. Because of the Electoral College and because it was pretty clear that Oregon as a whole is going to give all the electoral votes to Clinton in the last election, I decided to vote my conscience, and I voted for Jill Stein. If I had lived in a state that was not so clear-cut with the Electoral College, I probably would have held my breath and actually voted for Clinton. But to actually feel like I had a choice in representation, I don't feel like I do actually in this system. So I think we got to step back like three or four, steps. We have to actually look at the Electoral College, which is there basically to protect, it's a leftover.
From the mobs. It was there to protect us from the rabble-rousing mobs.
It's there to protect the landed gentry, basically. And it doesn't operate in the people's interests. And, so there's that. There's the gerrymandering issue. And then there's just the outright establishment that is going for the status quo. And so there's all of these things that kind of add into that.
Well, if people are going to vote based on one... single, one of their interests. You know that I don't think that's a good idea. You need to look. They need to look at the whole picture.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And do a little bit of research. You know, I'm not a politician, nor I, you know, sure. I'm an expert in this. No, I'm just
a big picture, for
I'm
sure. Big picture
you know,
is
a
good.
I'm just a concerned person. That's it. But you know, I have kids, I have a family. You know, I run my own business, and I, you know, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned about my kids' future. So, you know,
absolutely.
In order for us,
as well,
to
you might be.
We look at the whole picture, not just one thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I got family members that you know that need certain things. But I'm not going to vote just for that one thing. That
sure.
You know?
We are actually out of time for the entire show.
Thank you so much for your call.
I do thank you very much for your call, Enrique. This is a long discussion, and I'd love to have it with you. But unfortunately, we are out of show. So I need to remind people, seasonal
allergies.
What's
coming up?
That at 9 o'clock, Beloved Community is on the air. Organizers and presenters introduce us to the Embrace Festival taking place in Portland May 4th, 5th, and 6th. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, The Digital Divide talks to author, musician, and Portland punk icon John Shirley about technology, the environment, and politics. Plus, you can hear unreleased tracks from his forthcoming album. And we thank you, of course, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not yet a KBOO member, please take care of that right away by going to kboo.fm and clicking on the donate button there in the upper right corner. We are out of time. We'll be back next week with Matt DeSantos from the ACLU.
Tune in then.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meetings in writing, please email Monica at kboo.org.